Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jam, what you listening to?
Do you know this song? It's called Take Me Home.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
You know what's really great about it?
That it's the last song on the album?
Okay, Patrick, this is an exciting day because we get to welcome a new listener guest to the show, okay? So, I mean, I think listeners may have heard Tim's voice before. Maybe when we did the Who live event, did you step up on the microphone for that, Tim?
Yeah, I was up on the stage for that. That was, in fact, like the last live music-related event that I was at.
Me too.
Before everything kind of shut down. But yeah,
that was it.
March 4th.
We got in.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. We got in just under the wire on that one.
I know.
Who would have thought, right?
Date that will live in infamy,
Okay, so let me introduce our guest here. So first us, this show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is Tim Hoffman.
Hey, everyone.
And this is a patron episode. Tim has been a patron of the show, and he gets to pick the topic today. Speaking of which, go to patreon.com/suburbspod, and you can see the details there. But one of the perks that you get as a patron of the show is you get 20% off Rockin' the Suburbs merchandise. And
correct.
I screwed that up the time that Tim bought merchandise from us at the Who show and didn't give him the discount. So we gave him a little, we gave him some like extra swag.
We did.
Yep. I think he got a free bottle opener as part of that deal, right? So I hope you're enjoying the merchandise.
I am. Thank you very much.
And also I see, because we're looking at each other on Zoom, I see a couple of guitars behind you there, Tim. And are you much of a player?
I picked up the guitar in college and kind of stuck with it through all these years and play as much as I can, you know, at least 15 minutes, half an hour a day, just after work, come home, loosen up, work on a song or two.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's been nice to, like, I was at one of the Hootenannies a couple weeks ago. So
that's right. Yeah. I was about to say. Yeah.
I play
for
you guys. I'll be at some of the upcoming ones.
Well, if you ever, you know, get the nerve up to want to, you know, play something
that's
for
right.
the peoples, believe
me. Oh, yeah.
If I can do it
last time,
if I can do it, anyone can do it. So I have no skills. So, okay. And then before we start with the topic here too, Tim, tell people a little bit about like where you live, what you do for a living, that kind of stuff.
Sure. I live in the Northern Virginia area in Centerville, but grew up in Ohio, spent all my life up through high school in Ohio, and come from a fairly large family with 12 brothers and sisters. And so one of those situations where older brothers just like handed musical, you know, knowledge and crates of records down to me over the years. And so just picked up a love of music very, very early on and passed it on, you know, to my kids who are both really, all of my kids really into music. But I work for FCPS. I'm an assistant principal at a middle school here in the county.
Nice.
Have you ever seen, there's a show on HBO called Vice Principals, where they're like comedy and they're like rivals or something? I haven't seen it yet. I want to watch it, but is it any good?
Yeah, is it true? Good. We riff on it once in a while,
nice.
Amongst the admin team. But yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting show. Yeah, I've been in education a long time. So since 85, I've been teaching, and then it's like the last 7 years that I got into administration, but I love it. Love working in the schools. It's the best.
I was just going to ask Tim, how challenging has it been since the lockdown and all the classes sort of going virtual? As an administrator, has that been difficult or what has it been like?
It's been challenging, but it's a situation where like this is happening and these are the students that we serve and the community that we serve.
Yeah.
And the parents that we serve. So you got to hop to it. And a lot of decisions happening very quickly and a lot of systems and procedures that got to be put into place. So it was a lot of quick thinking, but we got a great team and we worked together really closely. So it was nice.
Okay, good.
And now we learned a lot and we can use all those things moving forward because who knows what the school year is going to look like in the fall.
Right. Yeah. Nobody knows what it's going to look like late August and early September. Oh. Although I may have said this before, Jim, like for me, the kind of student I was, something like this would have been the perfect excuse. I mean, I could have milked this for months and months, right? Oh, my computer internet wasn't working, you know. Sorry, but my mom was using the computer. I mean, it would have been great.
The kids haven't changed. It's still the same students, but it's just how you reach them and how you provide what you need to provide to them. So those things change. But It's been a challenge, but it's been good work. It's always good work.
Well, we commend you for doing that educational work. We don't thank our teachers and administrators nearly enough in this country. So kudos to you, Tim, for doing that.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay.
Hey, I wonder if this is the appropriate time just to, I want to thank both of you and all of the interns for putting this together. This podcast is so important for me personally, just because it's something that like I look forward to every day. I know you have, you know, hundreds of listeners around the world who feel the same way. It's just when things get difficult, it's really important to be able to pause and stop and reflect on things that bring joy to your life. And music is definitely one of those things. And to hear people talking about music, people who love music so much and sharing things. Since I've been listening to this podcast, I've discovered a lot of new artists and records and bands, and you got me into Bandcamp, and so it's really expanded my knowledge base of music. And I'm older guys. I never felt like I had things figured out, but I've certainly learned a lot, and it's made me realize that there's always good new music out there, and it's always good to share it with other people.
We so appreciate that. And I
guess,
I mean, I got to say, I'm learning a lot every day too, from the listeners, just from my own, you know, sort of renewed sense of discovery that I've gotten from this show and everything. There is a lot of great stuff out there, and I'm happy when people, you know, latch onto something that they maybe would never have heard before, or maybe wouldn't have opened themselves up to before. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Tim. Those words mean a lot, especially what you said about looking forward to it every day. And we try to put something out there every single day that's at least worth 20 minutes of your time. And it feels good to hear you say that. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. And with that, well, let's keep this love fest going. What is the topic? what is the topic for today?
Well, this is something that I've been thinking about for, you know, probably a couple years at least. And, you know, one of the joys of streaming music platforms like Spotify is the ability for listeners to compile or to build playlists of songs, favorite artists or favorite genres or favorite time period or whatever. So I started working on a playlist that I titled Great Album Final Tracks. And what I was thinking about was, you know, how, like I mentioned, I had grown up, you know, listening to records in vinyl form, and how much it meant to just like put the record on the turntable and listen to side A and then flip it over and looking at the lyrics and liner notes and really studying the record. But I felt like there was something to be said for the choices that artists make when they track an album and they select a particular song for, like, this is how we're going to end the record. Mm-hmm. This is the song that we're going to put at the very end. So it's the last thing you hear. I mean, it can be a very powerful farewell to the listener or just like a thank you to the listener. And so I just started thinking about records that I had grown up with or that I discovered recently, and especially if there was a final track on them that just kind of resonated with me. So I started building a playlist. So that's the topic.
I've seen your playlist. I think it's a fascinating idea. And before you get into this, I'm always fascinated with formats too. So you mentioned like getting an album, and one of the problems, I guess, with the album as opposed to streaming was that there were a lot of times you'd listen to an album and didn't get all the way through and wouldn't get to that last song or the last song on either side. And generally, when you went back to listen to the album, you'd start at the beginning again. So, you know, you didn't like start in the middle, whereas with streaming, you can just kind of pick up where you left off. It remembers where you were, right? And then you just pick up and left off. So maybe you're more likely to get to the end. I don't know. But then again, I guess when you listen to the album, you maybe often were making a commitment to listen to the whole thing too. So there is that. But the other thing I want to say about formats though, is I think find really intriguing is that when we got into the CD era, especially of the 90s, where vinyl really just kind of fell out of favor and you didn't have two sides anymore, there was a real effort by the labels to get the artist to put like basically all the hit songs, to front load that, put those at the top, right? And then sort of like have a sort of a diminishing returns as you went through. So I think there was even less importance placed on the final track in that era. Do you know what I mean?
That's really interesting because when I was building the playlist, you know, I was pulling final tracks from albums, you know, new and old, and several records that I had focused on that were from like the mid 90s that I don't have vinyl versions of those records of because they don't exist, or they're just really hard to find, or they're extremely expensive. I thought about that a lot, like, you know, when things went to CD, or later when things became streaming like Napster or iTunes or whatever, that I felt like that changed the art of building a record.
I think so. And one last thing, real quick, I'll say this. Patrick, yeah. I need your expertise on this, too. Wasn't it true also in the days of vinyl records, too, that or you generally would put sort of quieter songs at the end of the side because it had something mm-hmm. to do with the fidelity of it as the grooves got tighter, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and for quieter songs with less instruments, you obviously need less, you know, kind of groove space. So that was one thing.
Isn't that interesting?
It is, yeah, it is. And when you look at it, there's a lot to that, though, when you look at some of the quiet, longer yeah. songs that close out records.
That's right. Yeah. So I think that really works myself. I like that idea of sort of ending on that like quieter note, but I think yep. a lot of times it was done maybe as much for practical purpose as artistic choices, right?
Yeah, in some cases, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right, Tim, let's get back to your picks.
I'll start with the song that really got me started on this track, and that is from Abbey, Her Majesty, I believe from the last track on Abbey
yeah.
Road.
Yeah.
Which after coming at the end of like just such a epic, like nonstop hit after hit and a medley of songs that mm-hmm. just there isn't a break between them. And then you've got this 25-second, I don't know what to call it. It's just yeah. like a nice little ditty. I don't know what yeah. else to call it, but
yeah.
just like when I heard that for the first time as a kid. And the more I thought about it, I'm like, wow, what a choice to put this at the end of this record. And that's what got me started on this playlist. And I started thinking, what other songs would I compare to that song as? And like, this is a choice an artist made and just tack this one on the end. Just like, hey, here's just like a yeah. little bow on the present or icing on the cake. And some other songs came to mind in that regard. For example, I heard folks talking about The Knitters a couple weeks ago. So they put a record out, I think, called Poor Little Critter on the Road.
Yes.
And the last song on there, it's not a short 25-second song like Her Majesty, but like they put a cover of Rock Island Line on there. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a nice little tune to put on the end there. And I thought it was just like something extra that they added there. So that was kind of one category, I think, that I was thinking about when I was putting this playlist together.
It's almost like when an artist does a live show and then they come out like for an encore, play a couple more, you know, hit songs or whatever, and then just like cap it off with something kind of weird.
Yeah,
or strange yeah. or whatever, just to sort of like be like, this is the end of the show, you know?
Thought this was supposed to be a good train line. We ain't gonna get nowhere like this, honey.
I don't think so.
You're right. What are we going to do about this? We ain't even going to get to Hollywood at this rate.
Well, I had an idea. DJ, oh, DJ, I think you better shovel some soul coal under those flames and get this train going.
Oh, I can feel the heat now. Ooh. Down in my boiler.
Another category I was thinking about, the beginning track and the ending track. And there are probably a number of records that have been produced where there, maybe it's a concept album or it's got something going where the first track and the last track are kind of bookends of each other. And the first thing that came to mind was the Minutemen or Minutemen Double Nickels on the Dime.
Yeah.
that record that starts with, I think it's called Three Car Jam.
Yeah.
So it's just the sound of, I think, their gig van revving up. And
yeah.
that's the first track. And that's the last track on that double album. So I started thinking about if there were other bookend sorts of songs, and Pink Floyd Animals came to mind. So I wonder if there's anything that comes to your mind that fits into that category of like bookend sorts of tracks. Like, here's the beginning of the record. I'm going to take you through it. And then here's the end
and
of
then
the
like a reprise, way. Like a reprise, almost like
yeah, almost
like a,
yeah,
like exactly. a symphony might have or something like mm-hmm. that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking right now. I'm trying to think. I mean, does Tommy sort of do that or Quadrophenia? I mean, I'm thinking of like rock operas where that might be sort of common, right? Have come back to the main theme, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Quadrophenia has definitely got that theme weaved in different places throughout the record, right? But it does reprise at the end, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, and that final track choice, I think, becomes maybe something clearer or easier to do when you've got a record that is like a rock opera or it's a themed record, or there's just a concept that it's all built around. I mean, I just added something to the playlist just a couple weeks ago, it made me think that, like, it's just such a sweet ending to a record. And it's from a Lou Reed album that he recorded with John Cale. It's called Songs for Drella.
Yeah.
And it's a record that's, I think it's written about and for Andy Warhol after he had died. So it's all about him. But the album starts with a song called Small Town, talking about where Andy Warhol had come from. And then the last song is called Hello, It's Me, which is not the Todd Rundgren song, but just Hello, It's Me. And it's basically, you know, a goodbye to Andy Warhol. So it's not a rock opera, but it is definitely a concept album in that it's all built around songs about and songs for Andy Warhol.
A song cycle, in other words. I love those kind of ideas. Yeah, and that's a great, great album. If people don't know Songs for Drella, it's like one point where John Cale and Lou Reed came together again, you know, kind of without too much tempestuousness and, and too much animosity, right? And were able to make this beautiful music because they were doing it sort of for Andy and for Andy's memory.
Right.
He had basically launched their entire career as sort of managing the Velvet Underground. So that's a great, great example.
Yeah, and that's one of those, I think it came out in the mid-90s.
Yeah,
that's one of those mid-90s
so
records that I don't think I have it on vinyl. I don't know if I can ever find it on vinyl because I don't know if it exists.
Yeah.
Andy, it's me. Haven't seen you in a while. I wish I talked to you more when you were alive. I thought you were self-assured when you acted shy. Hello, it's me. I really miss you. I really miss your mind. I haven't heard ideas like that for such a long, long time. I love to watch you draw and watch you paint. But when I saw you last, I turned away. Billy Name was sick and locked up in his room. You asked me for some speed. I thought it was for you. I'm sorry if I doubted your good heart. Things always seem to end before they start.
Other than that, I mean, there are some other categories, but I mean, sometimes Jim and Patrick is just a great song. It's just like a jam that, you know, thank God was placed at the end of this record and really wrapped it up nicely. And there are probably a million examples of that. And everyone's got some to add to the list. And hopefully I'll be able to share this playlist with listeners. And if they want to add to it, they would. If I could just dig deep in the bag and pull something out.
That's
an artist that maybe folks aren't too familiar with. I became aware of them. They were opening band at a show I saw at the 930, probably 10 years ago. I went to see The Hold Steady.
Ah, awesome.
And yeah, this band called Winter Sleep opened for them. And they are a Canadian band, relatively unknown in the United States, but very well known in Canada and had won a lot of awards. I think like the Canadian version of like the Grammys and like they're just a really good band. And there's one song at that show that really caught my ear. And then later when I found some of their stuff on CD or on vinyl, they have a song called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but it's called Miasmal Smoke and the Yellow-Bellied Freaks. And it's a great end of album jam. And it's probably a 7-8 minute long song, something like
nice.
That. So it's one of those long, and it's not a quiet song. So it's not like something that we're going to put on the end of the record and it needs to be quiet to be able to fit on this plastic. But it's just, it's a really nice song.
heard of this band. I definitely want to check this out. I'm looking at their some of their stuff right now. It looks very interesting.
How about you guys? What sticks out for you is just like a nice like jam at the end of a record?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go first, Jim, and mention something. I don't know if any of our listeners made it through my whole travelogue redux on Monday, but at one point I was like a little giddy from all the driving, and I heard a cover of Blinded by the Light by Man for Man, it's an Earth band, come on the radio. And then I started really thinking about the first two Bruce Springsteen albums, which are by themselves pretty different from the rest of his catalog. And also, if you compare them to each other, very, very different. And, you know, they were the first two, Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey, The Wild, The Innocent, and The East Street Shuffle. And The Wild, The Innocent, to me, like you were saying, Tim, if you think about those three songs on the second side, Incident on 57th Street, Rosalita, Come Out Tonight, and then the last song on the record, 10 minutes, longest song on an album with a lot of long songs,
right.
New York City Serenade, just this long sprawling thing. But after the intensity of Rosalita, I just can't imagine not hearing New York City Serenade. And as I was trying to say on the podcast, it's not the best song on the record. Like if you went through and said these are the best songs on the record, it might even come in second to last, you know, maybe like just ahead of Wild Billy's Circus Story, which anyway, it has to be there, you know,
right.
Like if that was not there, the whole album would just fall off a cliff, right off a crevice, you know, down into the base of a glacier and never be heard from again, you know, like, but that song is so necessary for the record to feel complete and for Bruce to get all of his thoughts about New York and all his poetry and all his different sections that they tie together and all his ideas. And it almost feels to me like he moved on to, you know, obviously totally different things that were, you know, in the shape of Born to Run. But that to me feels like this really beautiful, self-contained, you know, fabulous little suite about New York City. And that's the one that came immediately to my mind when we heard Tim wanted to talk about this topic. So
yeah,
that's the one I'll throw out there.
Billy, he's down by the railroad track, sitting low in the back seat of his Cadillac. Diamond jacket, she's so intact, and she falls so softly beneath him. Jackie's heels are stacked, Billy's got cleats on his boots. Together they're gonna boogaloo down Broadway and come back home with them. It's midnight in Manhattan, this is no time to get cute, it's a mad dog's promenade. So walk tall.
Yeah, Jim, what do you think?
Okay, first of all, great pick. I think that one, as you said, sort of serves a need to bring you back down after the Rosalita.
Yeah, totally.
Song,
yeah.
Right? Because that song is exhausting. When you get to the end of that song, as a listener, you're worn out. And so now you need this, right? You need this 10-minute sort of meditation, right?
Right. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like your cool down after a long run or something. Yeah.
I have three picks that came immediately to mind. And I'm not really going to talk about the first one that much because it was just like so obvious. But when you talk about like great like endings to albums, I think you got to go with A Day in the Life off of Sgt. Pepper's, right?
Yeah.
Because not only is it the best song on the album, and just like a little mini opera unto itself, but just the pure ending chord.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a better way to end an album than that?
I know.
Yeah.
Right. So the other two are a little less obvious. So one I'm going to go into, as I discussed, sort of the CD era where I think bands didn't necessarily pay as much attention to how they ended albums, with this exception. REM's Automatic for the People, which was early 90s, is, and I'm a bit of a contrarian here, it's not one of my favorite REM albums, actually. I find it, to my taste, a bit uneven.
Okay.
I know a lot of people hold it up as among their best work. I like it a lot. I'm not as huge a fan as other people, but it ends with this song called Find the River, which is an not only just an incredible song, but it's like such a like sort of majestic end to the album. It's like it's a kind of song that like I have to think they put it at the end, because if you listen to the album all the way through and you hear that song, it's going to stay with you after the album is over. Do you know what I mean? It's like that kind of a powerful song. So to this day, I just think Find the River is just like kind of a perfect album ender kind of song.
Speedyhead, the read on the speed meter says you have to go to task in the city, where people drown and people serve. Don't be shy, you just deserve only just light years to go. Me, my thoughts are flowers strewn, ocean storm, they bury me. I have got to leap to find my way. Watch the road and memorize the slide that passed before my eyes. Nothing is going my way.
I agree. I mean, I feel the same way about that song. And that was kind of one of the lenses I was looking through as I was thinking about the perfect ending to an album. And sometimes it's the feeling that it gives you. And it might be, like you described that, as majestic. I had that same feeling with some other songs that I put on the playlist. And thinking back to a couple debut albums that really just nailed it with their final tracks. And one is Talking Heads 77 with Pulled Up.
Yeah.
At the end.
There
of,
you go.
That's the perfect song to end that record with. And I wouldn't be true to my Northeast Ohio roots if I didn't feel the same way about the Pretenders debut album that ends with a song called Mystery Achievement.
Yeah.
That just has such a like perfect driving beat, and Chrissy Hynde just a nice perfect wrap up for that record.
That's cool. Yep,
that one's well always stuck with me.
That's a great show.
So I want to give you one more, and I love this album ender, but it's so different from what you're going to hear on just about any other album. I guess maybe in some ways it's sort of a novelty, and I'm thinking you may have gotten this idea from the way Phil Spector ends his Christmas album, but I love at the end of Between the Buttons on the Rolling Stones, it ends with Something Happened to Me Yesterday, and it has that spoken word at the end where he literally is saying goodbye to the listeners.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, this experience is over now, and he's thanking the listeners, and he's telling them when they're on their bikes they should wear white and all this stuff, right?
That's right.
It's like, it's so charming, isn't it? You know, and from this big like rock band to have that sort of like intimacy with the listener in some way, right?
Yep. And it's, yeah, and he is like saying goodbye to them. And like,
yes, mm-hmm, it's so mm-hmm great. And
like,
and
it's closing time,
right?
That's right.
I know. Yeah. Isn't it just fascinating? And it's such an interesting choice too, because then you could never release that song as a single. Like, it wouldn't stand up outside of the album. You know what I mean? And it's a nice little song, but I just love that they overlaid that, or they made that part of the song, right? The, you know, goodbye little patter, right?
Yeah. The other kind of thread that came to my mind when I started thinking about this a little more in depth was, here's a song that's kind of the outlier in some ways to the rest of the record. And maybe it's because it sounds different, or maybe it's because it's something that they just didn't know where else to put it. And it was like, well, we can't put it first because it's too weird. Just put it at the end.
Right.
The one that I kept coming back to when doing some research and thinking about this is LCD Sound System, the album Sound of Silver. The very last song is New York, I Love You, But You're Bringing Me Down. And it's kind of different, you know, from the rest of the album. I mean, by the end of the song, it builds up into, you know, kind of a pace that the rest of the album, but the rest of the album is pretty propulsive, right? You know, maybe All My Friends and it, you know, is a little different and kind of similar to that. But I mean, just, you know, that to be such a sort of like open letter from James Murphy to the city of New York or whatever that scene was, to me, you know, it kind of stands out as like, this one's really different. So let's just tack it on the end. But you couldn't imagine the album without it, you know, in a similar way.
Exactly. Yeah. I think sometimes the end of the record is the only place.
New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. Like a death of the heart. Jesus, where do I start? But you're still one pool where I'd happily drown.
Jim had said about like a song that sticks out that way, maybe on a record that it might not be your favorite or that artist,
mm-hmm,
or it might not be your favorite song on that album, but it just, for some reason, it just stands out. And that reminds me of My Morning Jacket's record called Z. I don't know if either mm-hmm of you are familiar with that,
mm-hmm,
but this one's kind of like close to home because that record is just a great record. The closing song on that record is called Don Dante, which I'm not really sure exactly what that song is about, but I think it's written about or to a teacher that Jim James or someone else in the band had. But it's just this another long starts. It's like a slow burn, but it just ends up being a barn burner at the end. And, you know, it's like 8 minutes later after it started. And I used to play that record in the car a lot, speaking about road trips.
Like
when we're traveling with the family, this is, you know, 15 years ago or
so. That album is 15 years old. I'm shocked by this, but go on.
But my daughter hated that song. As soon as she would hear the beginning of that song, she's like, uh-oh, here comes that song. It's like too long and too heavy at the end, but it's such a great again, just like there was no other place on that record for that.
I was kind of surprised to even sort of remember this myself, but Freebird is the last song on Lynyrd Skynyrd's first album. I mean, it was their first album. The last song was Freebird. Obviously, you know, in 73 or whenever it was, they had no idea what it would become, but where else could that song go except
gotta be the end. Song? That's right.
Right, yeah.
It's got to be the end. That's true. Now, here's my question for you guys. I was just thinking about this. Does the inclusion of bonus tracks kind of ruin the last song experience?
Great observation, Jim. And I will say this really quick. I do appreciate, I mean, I, in general, unless I'm a hardcore fan of some band and some record, you know, I'm generally fairly lukewarm about all these extra bonus tracks,
right?
Unless it's, unless it's somebody that is my absolute top three, like, you know, then I, you know, I want every scrap that's right. available anyway. But, you know, for most of the time, it's like, really, you know, do we need all the demo versions? And that's suddenly, you know, the album ends and it's like, here's, wait a minute, this is it again, but different. Like, you know, here's all the demo or here's a live version of the album. But I do appreciate that in many cases, Spotify does keep that original release as it was set. You know, of course, it's never the first one that comes up. Like if you go to Reckoning, for example, it's the one with the whole live concert on the other side and then the third disc and all that. And, you know, you have to search down to find the original running order. But I do appreciate that in many cases, that original running order is still there. So it's not like they wipe that one out and totally try to rewrite history and say, oh, the album never came out this way or whatever. So,
Jim, I appreciate you asking that. I think about that every time I go looking for album and Spotify, and they're like, hey, here's the remastered plus, you know, which is cool to hear the remastered because maybe the sound quality is a little bit better, but I'm usually looking for like that album as it existed when it was originally released.
I totally agree. You want to hear it as the intended piece of work, at least first. Then maybe if you'd really like it, go back and explore some of the other stuff that's available. But
totally agree with that.
Right. It's like another Bruce record with a great final track, like Darkness on the Edge of Town. Like to hear Darkness on the Edge of Town at the end of that record, like I don't need to hear anything after that.
Right.
That's a perfect album closer. That is a perfect album closer.
Sure. Well, and you know, it's interesting too, and Jim, you brought up, you know, the sort of necessity, you know, kind of from a manufacturing and pressing standpoint, and anybody, you know, who's listening and hasn't listened to our Furnace Records conversation, go back and listen to that for kind of a different perspective on records. But if you guys, I think we're all old enough to remember that, you know, there was a time when, you know, we didn't have enough money to like get albums, and literally there would be at like midnight on Friday or, you know, on Saturday, it'd be like, hey, we're playing the whole Dark Side of the Moon, right? Uninterrupted on the radio.
On the radio,
yeah. It's going to be like our midnight album track or our, you know, full albums at 10 or whatever. And you'd be like, oh, I don't have that one. You know,
I'm going to get my cassette.
Exactly.
That's how I'm going to get it. But also that became a listening experience for people that, you know, these albums were good enough to put the whole thing on as kind of a, you know, in radio concert, you know, a special presentation that the album would, you know, be so good from beginning to end. And those final ones, I mean, I can't recall off the top of my head what the last song on Dark Side of the Moon is, but that was the first time I ever got that album. I taped it off the radio.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting when I think how FM radio, you know, shaped the way some of these albums in the 70s, you know, were put together. Especially some Bowie stuff or, you know, who really got, you know, into concepts and things like that.
This could be a topic for another time, not for today, but in the CD era, the other thing that artists started to experiment with was the hidden track.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I'm thinking of like Nirvana. Nevermind is an example of that. It ends with does it end with Something in the Way? I think
something like that.
But does it really? Mm-hmm. Because then 10 minutes of silence and then you get another song. Right.
So anyway,
that could be another topic. The hidden tracks. We could do that.
Well, sometime. And to go back to what Tim said about the Beatles and Her Majesty. I mean, think about what they put that snippet after. I mean, it was literally like the Beatles had summed up their entire career. And perhaps if you wanted to get really grand, the entire 1960s, the love you take is equal to the love you make, right? And that's perfect. Like, right. Let's walk away on that. Right. But, nah, that sounds cool. That's right. Just leave that little jam in there. That's good.
I love that. That's beautiful.
It's amazing. That just shows what incredible creators and artists they were to be able to just say, like, that sounds great. Let's leave it.
Because it's got such a catchy melody. And it's just a nice way of saying that, you know, even though here's this really heartfelt message that they built this record around, and we're going to end with that, that's not really the end. And so we're going to start over with some new music. And here's here's a 25-second song to kind of kick off the next chapter.
So incredible.
All right. This has been a great topic, Tim.
Oh,
thank you very much.
It's really going to fire people up. Yes. I mean, I made a whole bunch of notes here of stuff I have to go listen to.
And I wrote some notes down there. Like, there are, you know, two or three tracks here. Like, I'm not familiar with that track.
Right.
So,
let's check that out.
And I look forward to getting some feedback from the listeners.
Yep. Oh, that's going to be great.
So, the way you can do that, call, leave a message. We'd love to hear your voice. The number is 612-440-1984.
There you go.
All
right.
Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod. Leave comments there. Also, if you'd like to be a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/suburbspod. All right. Thanks again, Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. And we appreciate your support.
Have a good, try to have a good summer. You know, from school, but who knows this year. Just, you know, do your best. Stay safe.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Keep your head up and, you know, we'll get through this, right?
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, interns.
Listen to more records front to back.
Exactly. All right.
There you go. Yeah. And thank you, Tim, for mentioning the interns. It's always nice when our listeners begin to understand how important they are to this whole thing. So.
Yep.
Yeah. And they certainly are.
Yeah, I appreciate their work.
All right, thanks again. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been...
Tim Hoffman.
All right, and we'll talk to you all later.
Well, thank you very much. And now I think it's time for us all to go. So from all of us to all of you, not forgetting the boys in the band and our producer, Reg Thorpe, we'd like to say God bless. So if you're out tonight... Don't forget, if you're on your bike, wear white. Evening all.
But we can't put it first because it's too weird. Just put it at the end.